live. Hello, Nashville.
Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning, everybody.
This is your Sunday morning uprising. Joined today by my co-host, David Ross.
Hello there.
And I am Christy Shea Moore. David, how is it that you and I have come to know each other?
Well, you are a pretty cool pastor of a church in Bellevue called Bellevue Presbyterian, and I kind of play music and sing a little bit, I guess.
He does a lot.
I'm
he
all just right.
plays a lot of different instruments and sings. And
we join forces and put on a service on Sundays.
We do. Yep. So
it's magical.
It is. So if you would like to see us live, you can come on over to Bellevue Presbyterian on Highway 70, across from Red Caboose Park, and we have worship at 10:30. And we have a special worship, actually, this morning for our 50th anniversary celebration of the church. So we're excited about it. But today, we are gathering for kind of another purpose here on the show. Maybe we have a little musical hint of what we're going to be talking about today.
Cue the music. Christy, I'm scared.
Are you?
Yeah, that's...
We've got all the lights on in here, though. They're very bright.
That is unsettling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think everyone knows that theme song.
Very well known.
This is actually the Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. What great collaboration. Those guys have done so much great music. This is their version of the Halloween theme song.
And it was originally composed by...
John Carpenter.
Amazed by the fact that John Carpenter composed, wrote, and directed Halloween.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. So today on Uprising, we're talking about fear in the spirit of the Halloween season.
And also faith.
Fear and faith. Sorry.
We're not going to leave you in fear.
You got to have that second part.
That's why we bring the minister along.
Right. This is a collaboration.
It is.
So, Christy, what are some of your favorite scary movies?
And David and I share this in common. We like scary movies. So I think some of my favorites have been Jaws. I kind of count that as something that terrified me as a kid.
Yeah.
And The Exorcist.
Yep.
I'm also currently really digging on the TV show. If you're not watching Exorcist, the TV series on Fox. It's, I think, one of the best TV shows on TV right now. So, shout out to the good folks at The Exorcist. And I was able to meet some of them at Comic-Con this past summer, which was very exciting. I did like the Halloween first couple movies. Did not like Halloween 3 at all, but I liked 1 and 2 and have a lot of childhood, early teenage memories about watching that with friends, youth group friends, and yes, lots of nightmares. Nightmare on Elm Street was also one that I had really, really liked. I currently think the films from James Wan are excellent. He did The Conjuring and Insidious.
Ooh, those are both really good.
He's very, very good. I think he's like the modern master of horror. So what about you, David? What are some of your favorites?
You said one of my favorites, The Exorcist. It's like the number one scariest, I think. Mm-hmm. The Shining.
Oh, I forgot that one. Yeah.
Yeah. The Saw franchise and the Hostel franchise.
Never saw Hostel.
I guess there's one. There's two Hostels.
I think there's three.
Anyway, those are scary on a more psychological kind of level, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paranormal Activity.
Oh, that's so scary.
It's pretty creepy. It's like those movies that where you're not safe in your own house anymore.
Oh, I wasn't even in my own house when I went to see Paranormal Activity. I was staying in a hotel, gone to visit my brother, and yeah, I was pretty frightened going back to a kind of unknown place. So I slept with all the lights on and the television on. So very scary. What about books? Have you read any scary books?
I'm not a big horror book guy. I mean, as a kid, I think back to like Goosebumps, and then R.L. Stine, he had another, it was kind of like the teenage version of Goosebumps. It was called Fear Street. And it was pretty scary short, you know, short stories of murder.
Passing on some Stephen King to you.
Yes.
I think that's where I've watched a lot of the films that have been based on Stephen King's works, but you know, the books are always better. So The Stand is one of my all-time favorites, and of course The Shining. And he's got some new things out now that have also been turned into movies or TV shows, like Mr. Mercedes. I watched the first few episodes of that, which were very, very good. But Stephen King's been one of my favorites. I also remember the book Red Dragon, I thought was terrifying, by Thomas Harris, that introduced Hannibal Lecter as a character, and then later he followed it up with The Silence of the Lambs, and I think that was a pretty scary thriller, a psychological film as well. Excellent acting in Silence of the Lambs.
But, oh, yeah.
So wonder also, what were maybe some of the things that you were afraid of as a kid?
Childhood fears.
What were your, the childhood fears are always big. What were your childhood fears?
I had one that it was a result of, I feel like a lot of time fears are born out of our experiences. And I had a close call crossing a street when I was a kid. It was right by my house. My dad was helping me cross the street. It was rainy. It was kind of late at night. And I just kind of dashed across the street in this car, like had to slam on its brakes.
Nice.
And it freaked me out. It scared my dad way more probably than me. And yeah, that was just like, whoa. That never happened before. And then after that, I just hated crossing busy streets after that for a while. Mm-hmm. Like anytime if I was walking around with friends and I knew we were going to come up to like a busy street, I would secretly be dreading it, which is crazy how you can carry that with you for so long.
No doubt. That's sort of the way our minds work. And
then like, you know, robbers and intruders, you know, you hear a bump in the night.
Oh, yeah.
Send a kid underneath your bed.
Weird sounds in the house, particularly after watching something scary.
Oh, yeah.
Just listening to everything. I think I was afraid of what a lot of kids are afraid of, the dark, you know, and particularly if I watched something that was scary, then I would need to have lights on or at least a night light. Also never liked it if closet doors were open.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very scary. And also as a kid, I was kind of afraid of of water, and particularly, you know, the thought of the ocean. I still find the ocean a little frightening. What's down there? Because it's the depths have not really been explored. It is the great undiscovered country of the earth, is the depths of the sea, the ocean. Sometimes some of the creatures from the ocean wash up on shore, and they're scary looking. They're very, very frightening.
I was always kind of freaked out by, like, old photos of, like, sunken ships.
Yes.
You know, I just think of, like, the ghosts and stuff.
Yes, ghosts
down
and
there.
Haunted houses. And yeah, some of my favorite movies have been old haunted house movies, too. Like, The Haunting of Hill House.
That's something that scares me now.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think you were telling me you're not a fan of haunted houses.
Not at all. I like to watch my horror, but I don't want to live it.
Experience it in real life.
No, I had a story when I was, I don't think I definitely wasn't a teenager yet, but I begged my grandparents to let me go to the haunted house that JC's put on every year at the mall. And so they finally relented and they were waiting for me while I was in line. They were just out kind of the middle section of the mall on a bench. And so I waited in line, and then there were guides. The JCs had guides to take us through, and the guide was...
what's it called? It's JCs?
JCs. It's like a civic organization.
I literally thought you said Jay-Z, like the rapper. I was like, yes. He has a haunted house franchise?
He did, all way back when.
He's doing everything these
before
days.
Before he was big, Jay-Z had a haunted house franchise. No, the JCs.
Okay.
And
okay.
So I thought you were going to say the Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. I'm like, no. I would have felt better if Jesus had come out as my guide, though, for sure.
Yes.
But it was somebody who was, you know, dressed like he was a zombie or something, and it scared the living daylights out of me. And I was out of that line like a bat out of you know where. And my grandma just sort of smiled and chuckled and we went on our way. So that was the last time I really wanted to do a haunted house.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So thought we might have for our next musical interlude a song that's about fear. And I think that we all wrestle with fear. More so probably when we're kids, but our fears change when we get older, and they're still present. So maybe this song by Sarah McLachlan, Fear, will kind of help put us in the right mood to discuss our fears and how faith can help us with them.
Very cool. And we are music lovers here on Uprising, and so we love to incorporate songs that kind of tie into what we're talking about. Part of what we do here. So we'd love to share that with you. And let's play this song by Sarah McLachlan. Here's Fear.
Something that's precious to us, or we don't have the right gifts or the right stuff for the people who need us and care about us. And we wrestle with a lot of fears in our lives, and I think that's why the Bible speaks so much to us about not being afraid. In fact, you know, you hear that so often. I believe there's a do not fear for every day of the year in the Bible, something like, you know, 365 days. Or 365 do not fears in the Bible. So we're going to look at a few passages in Scripture that maybe can be things we can hold on to when we are afraid. So David's going to share with us some words that are found in the first letter of John.
1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. And God in him. love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us, because he first loved us.
I love that passage, because I think that, you know, God's love is perfect, and the more that we trust in his love and abide in his love, I think the less afraid we may be, or at least the more courage that we can find. And I've heard definitions of courage before as being like fear that has said its prayers, and I think that's a great definition.
Kind of embracing fear and kind of redirecting it in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the passage literally says they can't coexist.
Right.
Fear and love.
There's no fear in love.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you really love someone, when you know someone loves you, you aren't afraid of them. They're, you know, your safe place to fall. They're the person that you can really trust and count on. And certainly God is that for us, that he has shown himself to be faithful. And the more that we can be like that for the world, the better it is. I have a passage also to share from another one of the letters in the New Testament that Paul wrote to Timothy, who he was mentoring. So we're going to hear a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So I think that is a verse I've turned to again and again when I have felt afraid, that God gives us, you know, a spirit that is not a spirit of fear, but one of power. And because we all can find ourselves, particularly, I think, when we face the unknown, and fear of the unknown can be a huge one during our whole lives, because we begin to wonder what's going to happen, what's around the corner, what's staring us down. And you picked a song for today's show, David, that I think kind of deals with some of those topics.
Yeah. Yeah, this deals with, like Christy said, fear of the future and the unknown, and maybe feelings of like you're a little bit lost and don't know what's next, the next step in life. I mean, that can be a scary thing, and I definitely experienced some of that. But this is Talk by Coldplay off of their album X and Y. And I love Chris Martin's question, are you lost or incomplete? Do you feel like a puzzle you can't find your missing piece? I'm so scared about the future, and I want to talk to you. If you have fears about the future, never hurts to talk to somebody about it.
Nope.
It's always a good thing. It's a therapy song.
And I think of it, too. It's probably not how Chris Martin and Coldplay maybe intended it, but I think about how we also can talk to God about our fears. We can take them to him and also to other brothers and sisters in Christ and share them. Sometimes when we talk about things or we take things to God, I feel like it's like turning the light on.
Definitely.
When you're afraid of the dark.
Absolutely.
Something you see in the future where
Talk by Coldplay, talking about fear and faith here on Uprising. It's the theme for today. Myself and Christy from Bellevue Presbyterian Church. And Christy, what else is on your mind concerning fear and faith or other songs? Or,
you know, as David had mentioned, when we were preparing, and we thought this was a perfect theme because of Halloween coming up, but also because I think, of course, we're all wrestling with fears, sometimes still our childhood fears, and the ones that we come to honest as we grow up. But we looked at several different songs, and one that stood out for me, and I know David said he loved it too, was the Cave by Mumford & Sons. And it is just so rich lyrically. There's so much in it. And
that whole album.
Oh, it's
incredible.
Amazing. And mm-hmm. There's just so much that I have pondered about it. And so I did a little bit of digging about the lyrics. I did find an interesting blog called the Arenicon, where faith and culture meet, and posting by an Alan Marshall O'Brien, who says he at that point was a seminary student. So, of course, it resonated with me. But he had pointed out some things. One, I had agreed with him that I thought that the Cave was a reference to Plato's cave allegory. And part of my undergraduate degree was philosophy and classics and religious studies. But it would appear that there's also a lot alluding to the classics with Homer and the Odyssey, particularly in the mention of the siren's call and being tied to a post and having your ears blocked, as Odysseus did when they were facing the sirens. And you know, all of these old stories and also some of the parables and other stories in Scripture, you know, the reason stories are so rich and speak to us is because I think it helps our unconscious to connect with something to help us interpret our own story. And in this case, our own fears. And what are the sirens' calls that are coming at us that try to take us off of our path and away from our own particular calls that God has us on and wants us to hear. And so also there was a reference to St. Francis in this, who we talked about last week. And so I thought it was fascinating that apparently the great writer G.K. Chesterton, who Mumford & Sons apparently are fans of Chesterton's work, but that he wrote about St. Francis. And St. Francis, at some point, when he had renounced his life of privilege, and he went away and he spent some time in a cave. And Chesterton wrote that the man who went into the cave was not the man who came out again. And in that sense, he was almost as different as if he were dead, as if he were a ghost or a blessed spirit. And the effects of this on his attitudes toward the actual world were really as extravagant as any parallel can make them. He looked at the world as differently from other men, as if he had come out of that dark hole walking on his hands. So that has made just cast a whole new light on the song for me, to see that we can face our fears, we can respond in faith and with faith that God is with us. And just as in the life of our faith, through baptism to when we are taken home to be with God, we can die to ourselves and we can rise again in newness of life. And I think that's part of what the cave is about.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again. To fill my time, you take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me at the truth which will refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see where those orphans threw my tears. I know my call despite my faults and despite my growing fears. But walking on your hands and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the maker's land. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say, 'cause I need freedom now, and I need to know how to live my life as it's meant to be.
By Mumford and Sons, and unfortunately we are out of time. That does it for today's episode of Uprising. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening, and we always love to hear from you, so feel free to email us at nashvilleuprising@gmail.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. The show is also a podcast. You can find past episodes and just search for Bellevue Presbyterian Uprising.
So fear not, Nashville, but know God is with you. We'll be back next week and look forward to another episode with you. But go in peace and do good things.
Have a great Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Nashville. See you soon.
Peace out.
Peace out.